My time in the United States Army, as a major, I was assigned to Fort Benning, Georgia, for about 2 years. At that point in my life, I was what most people would call an evangelical Protestant. I grew up in the Lutheran Church and it had kind of morphed over into evangelical Protestantism. From time to time, I would sometimes watch services on TV, never as a substitute for going to church. I usually went to the Protestant chapel. But I sometimes watched parts of services on TV, mostly out of curiosity. I remember one preacher from the Columbus, Georgia area who was clearly preaching a health and wealth gospel, who was constantly stressing that Jesus promised us an abundant life and that God deeply desired success and prosperity for all Christians. There was, of course, an invitation to call in and make a contribution to his ministry. And I remember the phone number. I don't know why, but I do. It was area code 404 plus something like 546-LUCK. Needless to say, I never made the phone call. In our gospel for today, St. Mark gives us one of Jesus' most difficult sayings. It concerns following him and the way of the cross. Our gospel today is really a cluster of small episodes that go together, but they are distinct. The first episode is really Christ's question about himself to his disciples at Caesarea Philippi. Who do people say that I am? The disciples respond with a couple of options: John the Baptist, Elijah, or one of the prophets. Then Jesus puts the tough question to them, but who do you say that I am? And as Peter does in all of the Gospels, he acts as a spokesman and he replies, you are the Christ. You will notice that this account is shorter than Matthew's, where Peter replies, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And of course, the word Christ here is a transliteration of the Greek ho Christus, which means the anointed one, the Messiah. And immediately following this exchange, Jesus charges them to tell no one about him. It's again that theme of the messianic secret that we find in Mark's gospel. Then Mark wrote, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed and rise after 3 days. He spoke this openly. Now this is the first of the three passion predictions in Mark. As soon as Peter explicitly acknowledges Jesus as the Messiah, Jesus immediately responds by telling him what kind of a Messiah he's going to be. In effect, he's saying, I'm going to be a suffering Messiah. I'm going to be a betrayed Messiah. I'm going to be a Messiah that will be killed by the leaders of the people. But on the third day, I will also be the rising Messiah. He's not going to be a triumphant Davidic Messiah riding into Jerusalem on a chariot to conquer the Roman enemies. No, he will be a suffering and dying and rising Messiah. It's at this point that we see something truly unbelievable in the scriptures. Bold, brash, confident Peter took our Lord aside, and Mark actually says that he rebuked Jesus. It was not a polite conversation. No, he actually reprimanded the Lord. But before we are too harsh on Peter, we should look at ourselves. We all have a tendency to think that we know better than the Lord. We know what God's exact will should be for our lives, and we demand it. In fact, we insist upon it. Peter does not understand what God's plan is for Calvary. It's worth noting, however, that Peter here isn't concerned about himself. He's concerned about Jesus. He loves him deeply. He doesn't want him to suffer, and that's a very noble desire. So in the context here, what does Jesus say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. You are not thinking as God does, but as human beings do. We might ask here, why is Jesus so harsh with Peter? All that Peter's trying to do is avoid suffering, intense suffering. That would seem to be a reasonable response to the threat of persecution, betrayal, crucifixion, and death. which is reasonable unless you understand that the way of salvation is the way of the cross. To avoid Christ's passion and suffering would undo the very mechanism by which God is planning to redeem the world and deliver it from Satan and from the power of death. So when Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan," in Hebrew, the word Satan actually means adversary. By saying what he did, Peter became the adversary to God's plan of salvation. We all want to avoid suffering. God's plan is to make suffering the very key, the instrument of our salvation and our sanctification. This brings us right up to the third part of our gospel reading, the relationship between discipleship and the cross, between Jesus and self-denial. It's important to note that the previous two conversations were private between Jesus and the 12, but now he calls the crowd and tells them and the disciples that if anyone would come after him, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow him. He informs them that whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for his sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. First, notice that this is a teaching for all of us. It's a teaching for anyone who wants to be Jesus' disciple. In today's world, we many times hear talk about Christians as believers, but the connotation of disciple is vastly different from that of a believer. The Greek word for disciple is mathetes, which means student, one who closely follows the teachings of his master. So this is really a shocking statement of Jesus. It must have been a mic drop moment for the crowd, who really did not grasp what he was getting at. When you look at the totality of our gospel for today, notice what Jesus is saying. Not only will he be the suffering and crucified Messiah, but he calls his disciples to imitate that life. He calls his disciples to also, in a sense, be crucified, to die to this world and live for the kingdom. The whole church is to be cruciform in shape. It is indeed a tough message. It is a message of suffering, self-denial, and intense discipleship. It's certainly not a matter of picking up the phone and dialing 546-L-U-C-K. The crosses that we carry can be national, societal, or personal. But closest to home for us, perhaps, are the personal crosses. They can be serious illnesses, chronic pain, a difficult relationship, a son or a daughter who has made unwise personal choices, a serious financial hardship, or some other challenge. I've now been here about 18 months as your pastor, and I have seen and experienced some of the crosses that you carry. I have to tell you that it's a paradox for me. It is heartbreaking to see and feel the challenge that you face with your personal cross, but it fills me with joy and encouragement when I see how you faithfully embrace your crosses. The reality is, though, our Lord did not preach a health and wealth gospel. You cannot dial 546-LUCK and get health and prosperity. Our Lord calls us to deny ourselves, to take up our crosses and follow him. St. Augustine, Bishop of Hippo and Doctor of the Church, wrote concerning our gospel for tonight. He wrote, "How hard and painful does this appear? The Lord required that whoever will come after him must deny himself. But what he commands is neither hard nor painful when he himself helps us in such a way, so the very thing he requires may be accomplished." Unquote. Our Lord promises to help us with our crosses. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." Isaiah 41, verse 10. As we carry our crosses, may we always take comfort in the Lord and his faithfulness to us. May we know that our Lord walks with us.